You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Before we get into your research, can you go over some of the threats that the biodiversity and environment on Hauraki Gulf is currently facing?
Sure. There are lots of threats that the Gulf faces, and you see a diversity of these pop up in the media over time. We have long-term consequences of sediment running off the land, filling up our harbours and estuaries with mud and making the water brown and turbid. We have over-exploitation of fish stocks and habitat destruction from fisheries activity, which is reducing biodiversity and reducing the viability and resilience of the Gulf's ecosystems. We have climate change impacts that are coming into play here, which exasperate some of those other problems, as everyone would have been aware that, you know, lived through last summer in Auckland. But we are in a heat wave at the moment that's impacting on the viability of the plants and the animals that live within the Hauraki Gulf, and it's affecting their ability to both survive and do their jobs within the ecosystem.
Despite the current threats, you have written a report saying that there is hope and that by the year 2173, it is likely that we can restore the environment. What brought you to this conclusion?
Essentially, we were asked by the Hauraki Gulf Forum to identify what the future of the Gulf might be. You know, the picture I've just painted you of its present status, which has been exemplified by about 15 years of state of the environment reports coming from the Hauraki Gulf Forum, and also from state of the environment reports coming from central government, they paint a pretty bleak picture. But actually, if you think about it, the future is really for us to influence. And while, you know, we've set things in motion that will cause radical changes, if we get our act together, we can significantly influence the way the future looks. So what we tried to do in this report was really inspire people to think positively about the future that they would like to see, and to then think positively about, so what do we need to do now to get there? And so looking forward 150 years is a reasonable stretch, but you know, there are iwi within our region who have management plans for their harbours that are much longer time frame than that, so it's not untenable to do this. And what it really shines a light on is the need for us to have much more integrative and action-focused governance structures to support the activities of iwi and community groups who are actively engaged right now in trying to make the place better.
Earlier this year, the Labor government banned bottom trawling in the region. At what scale has this decision helped?
Well, actually, they haven't banned it. What they've done is proposed limiting it. So the options they've given people to respond to all still contain some regions of trawling activity within the Gulf. So it's kind of a bit of a difficult process at the moment, because although there were reports coming from, you know, collectives of a range of people from across the society wanting to ban trawling in the Gulf, that wasn't an option that the government actually put on the table. So what the trawling at the moment is really restricted to the outer part of the Gulf. So it's really unlikely that you would ever see a trawler working in the Gulf unless you were working or, you know, in a boat kind of on the northern part of Great Barrier and moving over towards the the Coast Range Fong Array. So most of the trawling activity is up there. And what trawling does is it drags nets and chains and trawl doors, big kind of flat sheets of metal that dig into the seafloor and create plumes of sediment that help herd fish into nets. That activity really, really impacts the diversity of animals that live on the seafloor. It really affects the way the seafloor works and functions to deliver some important earth system processes like storing carbon, processing nitrogen, all that kind of stuff.
And do we need more actions like this or even having marine reserves to achieve the vision that you described?
Yeah, totally. Again, there is information table essentially just before the election that was calling for an expansion of the marine reserve network within the Gulf. This will take it up a little bit, but really we should be, and we've signed up to international agreements to have 30% marine reserve by 2030 at a national level. Of course, you know, that doesn't mean we necessarily have to have any more in the Gulf, but we should. And it is a case of having a better balance between how we exploit resources in the Gulf and how we conserve the environment within the Gulf, particularly in the face of all of these stresses and strains like climate change, which, you know, really do, responding to that, relies that the ecosystems have some resilience.
You also talked about a more integrated governance with iwi. What does this look like for you?
Well, it looks like two things, really. One is getting over the kind of sectarian focus we have on governance. So, you know, we have one agency dealing with conservation, another agency dealing with fisheries, another agency largely dealing with the implications of land runoff in the coastal ecosystem. If we can integrate that and pull that all together effectively, that would allow for some efficiencies of operations and some consistency in terms of how we deal with different threats. If we can get that working efficiently and effectively with an action focus to actually affect change, you know, policy is great, but putting it into action is a different thing, then that would be helpful. Bringing iwi into this process is critically important. We have the responsibility under the treaty. But also, if you look at what's been happening within the Gulf, iwi have been proactive and engaged with actually trying to make the place better now, well ahead of government. So I think what they would do is really help hold the bureaucratic processes of government to account and make things happen.
What immediate action does our incoming government need to take in order to preserve the Hauraki Gulf and achieve the future that you envision?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, they need to implement the plans that were, you know, put on the table just before the election, which is about creating these new reserves and these benthic protection areas. They need to do that fast. That's been an incredibly slow process. And they need to view that as the start of a process, not a job done. And I think, you know, that then they really need to sit down and think about, as they look for ways of making things more effective and efficient, how can they do that? How can they use the research base better to support effective action in a cost-effective way? How can they use and work with iwi and community groups for more cost-effective and efficient actions with a focus on management being focused on making the place better, not just slowing the rate of decline.
That was Simon Thrush, head of the Institute of Marine Science, talking about his report on the future of the Hauraki Gulf.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.